Hi, I'm Jeremy, host of the Builders Hub podcast. This week, I'm introducing my co-host, Nate, who will be talking about Sligo's own technical product marketing team. Nate, introduce yourself. Tell us something that's not on your LinkedIn, a little bit about what you do here at Sligo.
Yeah, hi. So Nate Bryant, I'm on the product marketing team here at Sligo. Something that's not on my LinkedIn, and rightfully so, in college, I ran a small Amazon FBA business with some friends with mild success. I think we sold fidget spinners as one of our main products. As you can imagine, I think we started using more of the inventory than we sold, but it was a kind of a fun experiment into the world of commerce.
Awesome. In today's stat that we'll talk about comes from a blog that actually your team published about how you automated your publishing process, right? And we'll get into why and how, but wanted to first share the results. And it's that Sligo's technical product marketing team reduced their connector publishing cycle time by over 99%, saving nearly 1,000 hours annually, equivalent to half a full-time employee's workload. First off, Nate, what's your reaction to that? And did you know going into this project that it was going to save that much time for your team?
I mean, it is a crazy stat when you actually calculate it out. I think when you're having like run rate products or like run rate business that you're trying to do, you don't really realize how many hours you're maybe sinking into it. You're just trying to get the task done. And so when you start calculating, adding up all the hours, it is kind of a crazy stat. And a ton of credit to Adam and Cheryl on the technical product marketing team who actually kind of scoped and built this. They were the ones who were kind of in the weeds having to do the project, which was publishing web pages on our Sligo website for people to view. So it's crazy when you do add it all up.
Got it. So how was your team handling this process before you decided to automate it? And when did you realize that wasn't going to work at scale?
So the process was done completely manually, like most things. I think demand comes from the business to accomplish something, in this case, publishing web pages. And just for like a little background, Sligo has a website where like every company where we're publishing aspects of our product, in this case, it's connector pages. And so the idea being that a customer or someone who's looking to buy Sligo can go to our website and see if we use to see if we integrate with their app that they're interested in. So they can search, find a page, see some use cases that we're familiar with, see how it connects, link to docs, that sort of thing. And so it became really untenable when we released our B2B manager product where we have trading partners. So on top of the normal SaaS application and application connectors, you have a whole new category of connectors called trading partners that basically doubled the workload. And these are released on a much faster cadence. And so it just became kind of an untenable manual process when that happened.
Got it. And you know, EDI is near and dear to my heart, which I'm sure we'll dive into on a future episode. But when did you decide that this was the breaking point or that now is the time that we need to automate this process?
I think it really came from necessity. There was not enough hours in the day, as you can see by the hour saving, for us to even accomplish this. This would be just a full-time job and really take away from any other work you're able to do. And so it came from necessity, but ultimately, which I think we'll talk about, it actually improved the quality of the web pages because you could do this project at scale. When you add like an agent in it, when you automate a lot of the manual steps, it ended up being not just saving the hours, but being a better product at the end.
Got it. Awesome. And now let's talk a little bit about the actual solution, right? In traditional integration, you know, when people think of integration, they think of integrating their CRM into an ERP or maybe, you know, an e-commerce storefront into the ERP. But your automation doesn't touch an ERP, right? It covers four systems. And I believe it's Jira, Asana, Google Drive, and WordPress. What role does each of those applications play within your department?
Yeah. It's a great point. You think of integration around finance, commerce, right? Those are the common ones where you have a scale where you need to move that data, but you know, scale and high volume transactions could be really anywhere in the business. And so in this case, our engineering team and our product team is working in Jira, right? That's their natural application that they work in. They're describing and releasing these connectors through their release process. And so in product marketing, we have visibility to that, so we know what web pages to create. But our team works in Asana. That's our project management tool. We do everything in Asana. And so we first want to kind of adhere to our normal management processes, which is working in Asana, assigning people the tasks, and putting in the data that we need to accomplish it. And then obviously WordPress is the website where we're publishing the pages. And then Google Drive ended up being an intermediary step to hold some of the data. So the integration flow or the automation that was built does touch all of these different applications in a way that is relevant to how the teams using that application is using it. So we're not changing any of the processes on those applications. We're just simply pushing the data where it needs to be so that we can do our jobs in the applications that we have access to, which is really nice, right? It's like, I don't necessarily want to go in to Jira and try to pick through what engineering and product are looking at because I don't spend my day to day in Jira. I want to work in Asana. I'm comfortable with Asana. All of my work is in Asana. And so it's really nice to be able to keep working in my application and just have that data accessible to me.
Exactly. And that's where we hear a lot of departments, you and I both, right? A lot of different departments have their own system or source of truth, right? And that's exactly what you're talking about there, Nate. And my next question for you here is, if you're to walk us through the integration at a high level, you know, you mentioned that within Jira, that's where engineering, the engineering team's working out of, the marketing team's working out of Asana. What does that integration look like?
Yeah, let me pull it up here. Okay, so this is the integration marketplace. This is the collection of web pages that we were kind of talking about. So on our main website here, I can navigate to it, and it's a list of all of the featured applications, and then a long list of all of the applications we connect to, right? Categorized, there's thousands of these pages, right? And that's that point about scale, is like scale can exist anywhere in the business, especially with a product like Soligo, where we're constantly expanding both the scope and the capabilities. We want to make sure that customers and prospects are able to come and look and identify that and it be relevant to them, right? It doesn't help their business if they don't know that the connection is really, you know, built with their use case in mind. And so each one of these individual pages has to be both maintained and initially built, of course, right? So if I just grab like a featured one as an example, this is what the web page would look like, right? So there's a header with the name of the application. There's some pre-built text in here that called a global module. Anybody familiar with WordPress, like they might have repeatable aspects of a web page that need to be used. So this one is not a global module, right? Because it's specific to Dynamics, but there's, you know, a global module around EDI or view all integration, stuff that needs to be in every page, and you just have to be able to reference it. But other stuff like the use cases, obviously, that's very unique to the web page that you're on, right? Not every application does the same thing. And so what we need to do is we need to, one, create the data, but also put it in a place that WordPress can take it. So so once the data is in Asana, we have the ability to then manipulate it ourselves if we want to. This might mean like recategorizing a connector for an industry or whatever kind of tags we want to add. That may mean nothing. That may mean we do no manual intervention at all, but we have that ability now because it's in the application we work with. And then it's taking the integration flow, the automation is taking the data out of Asana once we've tagged it or left it as it is. And then it's creating something called a WXR file, which is then placed onto Drive. And that file is the raw WordPress data that then will be uploaded into WordPress. I would say the obvious question there is like, why not go direct to WordPress? Well, we don't give write access to our integrations for security reasons, which is totally fine, right? Like we don't want something being automated So what we do is we have this this intermediary step working with the governance that we have within Soligo so that we can place the file here and then we can upload it. And again, most of the work is originally spent building that file or building that web page. That's all gone. So now really the only human intervention is taking that WXR file and uploading it to WordPress. And we built some redundancies into the flow. Like if something goes wrong, we push it to a spreadsheet so that someone can view that and they may have to make some manual intervention or we get notified by the platform itself. So pretty cool.
So you know, exceptions addressed with, you know, what you mentioned with that, the notifications from the system, but also, you know, the spreadsheet, right?
Yeah, you can kind of think of it as like we wanted redundancy in the process. This is really critical from a marketing perspective. The integration marketplace is one of our like highest traffic parts of the website, and we want it to be accurate. We want it to be relevant, especially when someone has taken the time and the intent to go to the website. We want to make sure that they are getting what they want from it, and it's accurate. So we wanted both the redundancy of the platform, of course, where it's going to email us kind of in real time when issues occur. But then from a project management standpoint, we added in the redundancy of the spreadsheet, which is really cool to have the flexibility to do that. So we can kind of work again within our own processes.
Amazing. Thanks for sharing that with us, Nate. And thank you for walking us through the actual integration and the flow there. Walk us through how much time you saved, how many hours you saved after automating this process, and what did the department do with all of the extra time?
Yeah, totally. So I think because there's multiple parts of the process that we automated, there's kind of multiple ways to look at it. So even just the initial part of taking it out of Jira and putting it into Asana, that was, 20 hours of work down to like 2 minutes, right? It's like, that's just a very basic integration automation where it's just raw taking data, manipulating it to where it lands in Asana that is usable for us. And again, it's not just the time savings there, it's also the accuracy. So like there was potential that there were pages that were missed or connectors that we weren't aware of because we were manually combing through Jira. And so it's nice that we save the time and we know it's more accurate. And then the second part of the automation where we're taking the data from Asana and actually creating the web pages, I mean, that's the most time savings. That was the best part of it. That was like 60 hours down to 30 minutes, right? It's just incredibly quick because automation is doing it. And then part of that time, of course, is then put into quality control, right? Making sure that the web pages look good, making sure that the data is accurate. And then really it frees up the team for more strategic initiatives, right? There's a million things to do. There's a million things to market, especially in Soligo, and we're releasing like really cool stuff around AI and EDI and data ingestion, right? These are giant topics to cover. And it felt like we were taking a very tedious manual process, which is exactly the sort of thing you want to automate. And it's really just giving that time back to be a little bit more strategic for the team.
Awesome. And the integration that you showed is wonderful. Are there any ways that you could enhance that or refine it for the listeners out there? You know, as you mentioned, we're automating or integrating some applications there. Are there ways that we can incorporate things like AI into that?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's an aspect of integration and automation, especially where you may not want AI, right? Like just moving data, you want the data to be accurate. And so there's no need to inject AI into that process. So the first part of the automation, just moving it from Jira to Asana, we don't necessarily want to change any of that data. But what we've actually done is we've actually enhanced the flow. So we have kind of two aspects there. We have the trading partners, which we're releasing. Those are very cut and dry. The information is all in Jira and then Asana to put onto the web page describing, what the trading partner does, what the company does. That's part of the release cycle that engineering does. But with application integrations, what we actually do is we're actually able to assist in the building of the web page content using AI agents. where we take the name of the connector, the name of the company, and it generates use cases for us that we can then quality control to make sure this is accurate and makes sense. But it does all of the kind of reasoning brain power to generate that, which is, again, even more time savings that we didn't have before. And what's great, using this legal platform, we just injected that agent right into the existing flow. So we could give it an LLM that we decided was the best at writing, and then it generates it into the file, and then we can do the quality control. So it really was just, you know, a couple minutes to add the agent in there. One thing I'll say about the agent, again, you know, with web page design, it's not like finance, right, where you have to be, you know, accurate down to the penny to reconcile the books, right? This is words. This is being able to describe something, and that's where I feel AI is really good, right? It's really good at generating the next best word in a sentence, and then it creates a sentence that makes sense to humans. So that it felt like a perfect place to inject it, but we did want, you know, we want to be accurate and we want to be impactful on the website. And so what we did is we gave it MCP access to things like competitive intel databases or our own internal knowledge base through MCP, so that the agent is not just creating these words, it's actually impactful to how we at Sligo see the world. So it's really cool. It's taking it to the next step. It's not just AI sloth. It's relevant and helpful, right?
Got it. And this kind of automation seems like a no-brainer, Nate, right? But what are the conditions that have to be true to make this kind of automation work? And what type of workflows, I think you kind of alluded to this, what type of workflows aren't a fit here?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think just kind of anecdotally, the first step to be able to do this is to have the right team in place that is willing and open to have stuff like this automated. And so I mentioned before, like Adam and Cheryl, this was, they saw how manual the process was, but they chose Soligo to automate it. They were like, we can't sustain this. So they had to have the mentality of automation, which is, you know, sometimes hard to come to when you're in the weeds, just trying to get your job accomplished. And so that breaking point really, again, was the scale. It became something that, that just wasn't enough hours in the day. And the other thing is we had to have applications that we were using and were relevant and had the data, right? The thing that makes this work is engineering and product are working in an application very heavily, which is Jira. We were working in Asana, WordPress, Google Sheets, Google Drive. And so that data had to exist originally for us to build this, but then it's, again, supplementing that with the agentic capabilities of the platform to make the entire process automatable.
Got it. And if there's a team out there that's listening to this or watching this today that's doing similar work, manual work, that is, what's the first question that they should ask themselves or to their team to figure out whether or not automating a process like what you just walked us through is viable?
That's like a philosophical question.
You know, I think from what I hear in the leaders that I talk to, the first question is, can we actually get access to that source data, right? And I think that what you mentioned with the MCP servers is a valuable take there, right? Because whether it's with Jira or another application that users may not have access to, they still need data points, you know, from those systems. So I think what you called out with the process with MCP servers and how the team's leveraging those internally is a great use case for or a great first question for these teams to ask themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. It made me think like we needed to work within the confines of the security and governance that IT has, right? Like they don't, you know, in the same way that engineering and product are working in Jira, like I may not actually have access to Jira. In this case, I do, but it was helpful to like sit down and kind of map out like how each team is doing it. Because every team may not realize this, they have downstream effects across the org, right? It's like, I might be trying to get my job done, but you know, and release a connector, but I may not realize that, you know, marketing has to market it. And then, you know, once product marketing makes the pages, you know, revenue marketing needs to get it out into the world and push people to it and work the funnel. So when using our own platform, we worked within like the security rules of IT to say, hey, we need to make a connection to Jira. And what was nice about our platform is we could create that secure connection, even if we weren't the ones owning it. And then we don't like have access to any of the credentials for the applications that aren't ours. It's just the connection we're able to invoke with the access that we have available, which was scoped very specifically for this project. And so, you know, the first step in making a project viable is making sure that you can, of course, like you said, access the data, but then it's not just access. It's like the downstream effects of security and moving this data. And should this data live in another application, right? We're basically copying, pasting, and manipulating it into Asana. For us, that made total sense just because that's how our team works. And we have two very, you know, big different orgs, one with marketing and one with engineering, and then product, where it doesn't make sense to try and push people into an application that they don't do their job in.
Awesome. Thank you for walking us through that, Nate. I think that was very insightful. One last question for you here. What's something that you're building? Like, what's a project that you're excited about? Doesn't necessarily have to be technical or you know, AI related. But what's something that you and your team are building that you're excited about?
I'm really excited. I mean, I think everybody in the world is using AI now in some aspect, whether it's just a chat, but especially in the business world, right? We've seen Claude kind of explode in popularity. I probably use Claude every day in some form or fashion. And so what I was really excited about is when we released MCP servers, where we're able to connect data. Of course, you initially think about agents, right? Like I just described, like giving agent access. But I want MCP servers that are kind of custom built to what I need to do. So when I'm working in Claude, again, it's about creating meaningful like content and getting meaningful insights. It's not just what the AI is spitting out. So I'm working on a couple MCPs internally for myself and for all of marketing to be able to access data so that when we use AI, it does have a real output that we can use. And it's based in reality rather than, you know, the fear of hallucination or slop, as it's become referred to.
Which I think we've all seen our fair share of that for sure. So
definitely.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Nate, I thank you for joining us. Look forward to having you co-host as well as host some of these episodes on your own, so I can be a watcher.
That's right. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Jeremy.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and we'll see you next time.